Shalom, America, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Dan with my very special lady, Reverend Sheila Crawford.
And happy shalom to the Bride of Christ as we thank Him for His goodness according to His timetable. And we will look at that timetable tonight. As Scripture says, everything has a time and a season. And what a historical season it is. Let us give us praise to the real King.
Oh, Lord, our God, how great Thou art. As we thank You again for Your mighty works, and we recognize how it is You choose our leaders to fulfill Your Scriptures at the proper time. We pray for the sick amongst us and the salvations of all our loved ones. We pray divine protection for our new leaders, especially those who are called by Your name. May the Holy Spirit guide them to do Your will. We pray with confidence in Yeshua's name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we are living in and have witnessed an historic comeback of any presidency for such a time as this. Let's open tonight with a familiar scripture from Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1.
To everything there is a season, a time for every purpose under heaven.
And Solomon continues in more detail, essentially saying, there are both bad times as well as good times. Honey, please read Daniel 2, verse 21.
He changes the times and the season. He removes kings and raises up kings.
Or presidents.
He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to those who have understanding.
Meaning willing to learn. Naturally, it's easier to understand God's ways when time has already been. We had 4 years of good and then 4 years of bad. Why is that? Why did God interrupt Trump's presidency with Biden's, only to bring him back again?
Well, many say to open our eyes and to be more thankful.
And that certainly has happened. We've experienced the bad, which makes us appreciate all the more when anticipating that good times are now upon us. But let me add to that, as we just read in Ecclesiastes, that there is a time and a season for everything. You know, since Adam ate the forbidden fruit, God has already set the unchangeable date for our departure. Therefore, the situation on earth has to be just right to fulfill prophecy to the letter. Let's read another scripture, this time from 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 1 through 5.
But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labor pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness.
That holds a lot of information, which you have read many times, but let's rekindle that. First, Paul says the Thessalonians already knew what he was about to confirm again, that the day of the Lord begins as a thief coming upon the lost.
But not to his bride.
Right. So obviously we are not here because we are sons of the light and not of darkness. But did you catch the words, when they say peace and safety, the destruction begins as a woman in labor, which is a catchphrase for the tribulation.
Key words, peace and safety.
I think we will soon hear those words because Trump is back for such a time as this. In other words, God chose this season for Trump to be reelected, who says he'll end the wars, therefore is the one who will bring in peace and safety.
where Biden and Harris are war hawks and appeasers to the enemy.
Oh, for sure. And prolonging wars means more money for the military-industrial complex, who supplies the weapons, etc., etc. Also, as we mentioned last week, God did stop Trump's assassination attempts.
Obviously, he's the man for this time.
Which encourages me that Trump's peace agenda will set up and probably be the foundation for the Daniel 9:27 covenant that begins the tribulation.
On Yom Kippur.
Soon after we leave on one of the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah. And of course, I'm not sure which day or which hour.
Perhaps next year.
It certainly could be.
And I believe Vance and Trump will leave with us.
Oh, I do too. And with all the righteous gone, leaves total spiritual darkness.
Therefore, no light to restrain the Antichrist.
Yes, as 2 Thessalonians 2:7 says, will be the case. And the demonic Antichrist will rise quickly on the scene, likely someone the unrighteous will be familiar with. And since Daniel 9, 25 and 26 strongly says that he will be from the same people who destroyed the temple back in 70 AD, and of course we know that was Rome. And because of that scripture, many Christians for decades have thought it would be a pope. And in our case, most likely the next pope due to Francis's ill health. Remember, in the past, popes have often held two titles, emperor and supreme religious leader.
So if a pope is the Antichrist, who would be his false prophet?
Well, he would, of course, appoint a man of his choosing who will lift him up to all the people in the coming one world religion.
If we see a new pope, that will be a huge sign.
You think? Mm-hmm. Especially if he's another Jesuit. Anyhow, when Trump was first president, we had a small taste of that peace with the Abraham Accords taking shape.
But again, the timing was not quite right.
But now we believe it is. And by the way, in Matthew 2, it says people will continue with normal life, as in verse 38.
For as in the days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, until the day Noah entered the ark.
So in our case, things will continue in a somewhat normal fashion until we enter the ark in heaven. And the seals will be opened, as we read beginning in Matthew 24, verse 5, and also Revelation 6. With the Antichrist coming in first on a white horse, wearing a crown, but carrying a bow as a counterfeit Christ. By the way, the popes wear crowns from time to time, and in fact, one of his three-tiered crowns says in Roman Latin, Vicarius Filii Dei, which not only adds to 666 in Roman numerals, but means vicar or vice-regent of deity.
In other words, in place of God.
Yes, it does.
So let's talk about Israel.
Yes. Well, let's do that right after a few announcements.
All right, then. You can send your end-time questions by email to Sheila at shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also, by regular mail to Post Office Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. If you appreciate this type of teaching, please consider a love offering to help with our expenses, and we'll add you to our correspondence list. You can also donate on our webpage, shofarministries.net, where past radio and instructional newsletters are archived for your added learning.
And I also want to take a minute to thank those of you who have called about our legal situation concerning some unauthorized images used in a newsletter many years ago. I was able to find a pro bono paralegal in Ohio who helped me draft a letter to pickrights.com. So pray we don't hear back from them, although the attorney said we might have to pay something due to copyright laws. But our God is bigger and will carry us through no matter what, for he is our burden holder. And actually, without tests, how would we know what God can do?
Tests do build our faith and make us stronger.
Amen.
And we have a little scheduling conflict coming up.
Yes. We knew that on occasion our program might be bumped if local colleges are in playoffs, which Kent State is, for the next 2 weeks. So we will be off, but we'll be back on the air December 3rd with much to say by then. And, of course, as well, our newsletter will be going out hopefully by the end of next week.
Okay, I understand Israel's prime minister was the first to call President Trump and congratulate him.
Yeah, and even more since then, for Bibi is delighted.
And so are most of the Israelis.
And if you recall, Netanyahu did visit Trump at Mar-a-Lago in July, right after his address to our Congress, you know, when Kamala dissed him. But he did have a short sit-down with her, but no press was allowed. Thankfully, Israel remembers how much President Trump did for them. In fact, we have just a small list in case you forgot.
We do, and of course the biggest and best was moving our embassy to Jerusalem.
Which other American presidents always said they would, but never did. As well, Trump recognized Israel's sovereignty over the Golan Heights.
He also announced that Israel was not an occupying force.
And Israel was ecstatic when we pulled out of the Iranian deal, which Biden put us back in. But Trump will once again pull us out of, amongst other things. And then there's UNRWA, a tentacle of the UN that hates Israel, which Trump defunded.
And Biden refunded.
Which aided the October 7th massacre.
And we know for sure that Hamas is a part of UNRWA.
We do. And in fact, UNRWA even held some of the hostages in their own homes. And another UN affiliate is UNIFIL, also supporters of Hamas. And yet another UN tentacle is UNESCO, the United Nations Educational, Scientific, and Cultural Organization, who denied Israel's any connection to the Temple Mount.
So Trump withdrew from them as well.
He did.
And remember the Taylor Force Act?
I do. That's when President Trump halted payments to the Palestinian Authority because they were making payments to individuals or their families for any act of terrorism against the Jews. Once again, Biden restarted payments to them.
President Trump had also closed the Palestinian mission in Washington.
And this isn't a complete list, I'm sure. But one more thing to mention is Trump signed an executive order which reinforced our commitment to seriously address the issue of combating anti-Semitism.
That sure fell by the wayside.
As did most of Trump's executive orders. But did you know they have a city in the Golan Heights named Trump Heights?
I did. And did you know they also have a wine named after him?
Yes, Trump Wine. And it's in the foothills of the Blue Ridge Mountains in Virginia, where his son Eric started a winery called, of course, Trump Winery. Just saying.
Anyhow, more of Trump's executive orders are coming after January 20th.
Meanwhile, Biden has once again threatened to withhold already paid for weapons to Israel unless they expand the humanitarian area inside Gaza, which they have now done, even though everyone knows Hamas confiscates most of it and then sells it to the people. And we should also be concerned as to what else Biden and Harris will do during this transition period.
Keep that in your prayers as well.
Yes, for much talk is floating around about that. And I was reminded recently that in 2016, Obama, during his transition, tried to pull a fast one by putting forth a resolution to the UN to make it mandatory for an eventual two-state solution in Israel. And no one would veto that resolution except one country. And that stopped Obama.
Who was it?
Surprisingly, it was Russia, which is probably why Netanyahu does not send weapons to Ukraine. And it's only been this month that Israel agreed to send in electronic warfare system to defend against drone attacks. Anyhow, I thought that interesting about Obama, which again makes me concerned over what the current administration will try to do.
But God is watching.
Oh, he sure is, and will only allow what is necessary to fulfill prophecy.
That is a fact, and every day is a new day.
Now, each with its own set of twists and turns.
Okay, back to today's situation in Israel.
Well, that was a horrendous display of anti-Semitism in Amsterdam by the pre-planned, I believe, and coordinated attacks on Israel's national soccer team and their fans by very violent protesters. Anti-Semitism is massively growing globally, and many Jews are making Aliyah as God said they would.
And when things settle down in Israel, many more will as well.
And Hezbollah continues to shoot numerous rockets from Lebanon into Israel, almost hitting their main Ben-Gurion airport. And the new defense minister, Katz, who replaced the fired, backstabbing, and leaker, Yoav Gallant, says there will be no ceasefire in Lebanon and no truce, and that Iran is more exposed than ever for damage to its nuclear facilities is coming. And Katz says they will continue to hit Hezbollah with full force until the goals of the war are achieved. Well, soon after those words were spoken, Hezbollah fired another barrage of rockets into Israel.
Israel also has soldiers on the ground in southern Lebanon.
Yes, but did you know that Trump's daughter, Tiffany, married 2 years ago and is now with child, married a Lebanese heir who was born in Lebanon and has legal dual citizenship and is the son of a Lebanon billionaire businessman, Massad Boulos of Boulos Enterprises. And that's a huge company headquartered in Nigeria. Now, I told you all that because Massad is really liked in Lebanon, both with Christians, as he is one, and also the Muslims, and really helped in Trump's campaign.
And perhaps why Trump won in Michigan.
Likely. And Massad is expected to be part of Trump's envoy in the Middle East.
It's certainly a family affair.
Yeah. And remember his son-in-law, Jared Kushner, who helped jumpstart the Abraham Accords? Well, he's well-liked in Israel. After all, he is a Jew. And his wife, Ivanka, Trump's daughter, converted to Judaism, as you know.
And Israel still has ground troops in Gaza.
They do, which is now visual evidence, by the way, of Hamas's abuses against Gazan civilians.
Yes, documented instances of torture,
which highlights the organization's oppressive methods against anyone just suspected to be in opposition to Hamas. So Hamas is not only an adversary of Israel, but they're a threat to its own citizens.
Not surprising, as they have always used them as human shields.
That's very true. And as well, drones keep flying in from the east, you know, from Iraq and Syria. Also, the Houthis from the south continue to attack, and especially international ships in the Red Sea, making the situation in the Middle East even more complex for Trump.
The Houthi militants have driven out international trade.
However, over the last weekend, our American military, which collaborates with Britain, at least did conduct more airstrikes on numerous weapon warehouses in Yemen to help protect tankers from attacks.
But most sea transport is forced to take a slower and more expensive route around Africa.
Mm-hmm. Yep, to bypass the Red Sea.
So, what is the first thing you think President Trump will do on day one?
Well, I know he's certainly going to get started on day one, but the first thing I think he'll want to do is close the border. And the new far-left lady president of Mexico knows that the Remain in Mexico order, well, that's going to be a must. I'm wondering what she'll do. And Trump will get the ball rolling again on moving more wall, building more wall, and start deportations, beginning with criminals. And the new border czar, Tom Holman, has a plan ready to go.
And then move on oil production.
Yes, expedite permits and lower regulations and restart the pipeline projects that Biden killed.
And he'll leave the Paris Agreement.
Oh, yeah, with all those stupid climate change mandates. As well, he'll quickly end the policies hurting American auto workers. And that's just all that's going to get started in the first week. And then he'll probably work on the Middle East war by installing tough sanctions on Iran and work on ending the Ukraine war, of course, as well. And by the way, he's already talked with Putin and Zelensky. And also, he'll quickly work on our economy, using tariffs as a tool in his toolbox for successful negotiations to help bring back company jobs into America. And by the way, it's already working.
And no tax on tips, overtime, or Social Security.
Amen. So yes, it's been an exciting 7 days. And as well, one more thing, many of George Soros's paid for lackeys in government, as in LA's District Attorney George Gascon, well, they're leaving too.
And the stock market hit a record high.
And the EU said it will buy U.S. gas, not Russia's, who, by the way, will sell in U.S. dollars, which Russia has been moving away from. And Qatar has kicked out Hamas leaders living there.
You know, even China has made some positive gestures.
Yep. But always keep praying, because the enemy always comes up with another plan. But thankfully, it's never a good one. And saints of God, be thankful that we know the rest of the story. And let me just ask you, if you're listening out there, are you saved? Are you sure you're saved? Are you the bride of Christ? Is Yeshua Lord over your life? You know, Luke 21 says, you can escape what's coming with a simple prayer. Just admit you are a sinner, repent, and invite him into you so that he can have dominance over you instead of the God of this world. Because if Jesus isn't ruling your life, then Satan is. There is no in-between. There's no gray. It's black and white. So those of you who are gray, or we call lukewarm, get your act together now. Tithe your time in God's word. You need it for discernment and power over demons who surround you. The ironic blessing, the Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. We'll be back on December 3rd. Shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.